I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Chapter 4. My wife and I are so happy to be here. You know, we thank God for this relationship that he has established with Redeeming Love. Honey, would you stand? No one may know who you are. And there she is. Praise the Lord. Amen. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. He that finds a good-looking wife finds something better. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I got both. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 11, a very familiar verse. I'm sure you've read this many times. This is referring to gifts that Jesus has given the church. All right. The he in verse 11 is Jesus, talking about the Lord. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, so we can stop there for time's sake. But the point is here, Jesus gave gifts to us. But I want you to notice the word some. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Not everybody is an apostle. Not everybody's a pastor. Not everybody's a prophet. Not everybody's a teacher. Some are, many are not. Those gifts are given as the Holy Spirit wills. He makes those decisions, okay? The point is that not everybody is called to do certain things in the body of Christ because God selects and picks certain people to stand in certain offices, all right? But what we're going to talk about today deals with every Christian everywhere, no matter who they are, no matter what nationality they are, no matter what level of education they've gotten, whether male or female, single or married, old, in between, young, whomever claims to be and is a child of God, we're going to talk about things that apply to them, to all of us, not just like this, some are apostles, some prophets, etc., like that. No. We're going to talk about identity here today, and we're going to also continue with this tonight. Because the body of Christ desperately needs to know who they are. The level of ignorance inside the body of Christ is appalling. And it is the greatest weapon Satan uses to keep us at bay. If the body of Christ ever woke up and realized what happened to them when they accepted Jesus and who they became in Christ, we could turn this world upside down in a matter of months. But because we don't know who we are in a general sense, we labor along, struggling along, and we're letting a defeated enemy defeat us. And that is a slap in the face to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay the price to give us the freedom that we have from sin and the ability to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature without apology. Amen? Amen. I don't apologize for who I represent. Amen. Not at all. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we need to understand things about who we are in Christ. Listen, we're all, let me rephrase, not all of us, some of us are called to be evangelists, but everybody is called to evangelize. Okay? Not all of us are called to be evangelists. That's an office that he picks and checks and decides who will stand in that office. But for most of us, we need to understand that even though we're not evangelists, we are all called to evangelize. So I want you to turn with me in the same book. Go over to chapter 6 of Ephesians. All right, look with me at verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 20. Let's find out from the Bible who we already are. Okay? Who are we in the body of Christ? Let's move beyond ignorance. Yeah, I love the Lord. Loving the Lord is wonderful, but you need to know something about who you are so that you can go out there and glorify God and wreak havoc against the kingdom of darkness. All right? Paul makes this statement. He talks about many things in chapter 6, talks about spiritual armor and so forth. But it says in verse number, let's back up to the 19th verse so we can read into verse 20. Ephesians 6, 19. After talking about spiritual armor and, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, blah, blah. Okay, then he gets down to verse number 19. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So the Bible says we should be speaking boldly about the things of God. Okay? But I want you to notice, according to verse 20, he calls himself an ambassador in chains. Now, we're not in prison. That was his reference there. In chains means he's in prison as he writes this. We're not in prison today in that sense. But we are, like he describes, we are ambassadors. We're not in chains, but we are still ambassadors. Okay? There are many ambassadors on earth today, and their names would be people like you and me and everybody else out there calling themselves Christian, born again, children of God, members of the army of the Lord, the body of Christ, whatever we care to, the church, okay? All of us in the church are ambassadors for Christ, okay? That is who we are now. That is not who we will be someday. That is who we are now, okay? So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is who I am, and this is who you are. Okay, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verse number 20. Let's just solidify this truth from the scriptures before we proceed to find out about the profile of a spiritual ambassador for Christ. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. He's writing to the Corinthians, and he says to them in the 20th verse, now then, we are, notice the word we. He didn't say I, he said we. He's writing to a group of Christians. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Okay? Notice, now then we are. Now then, we are. Not now then we will be. We are going to get there. We're on our way. Someday we will be. No. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. And then the message of the ambassador is found in the same verse. As though God were pleading through us, through his ambassadors, that would be us, you and me, we implore you, and you as the unbelievers that were sent to, you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's the message of reconciliation. We go into all the world and we tell people, hey, the good news is your sins have been judged. Your sins have been paid for. The only thing stopping you from heaven is you, because the penalty for your sins has already been paid for. That's the message. It's so simple, people stumble over the simplicity of it. When we share Jesus in the Philippines, that's all we tell these people. And most of them are religious folks, you know, but most of them have never heard about being born again. They've never been told. Okay, you can go to church all your life and die and go to hell. How many know that's true? Amen. I was one of those. I was a good Roman Catholic. I was raised in a Roman Catholic family. Went to Mass every Sunday, went to Catholic catechism class. I mean, I studied all that stuff, okay? Grew up and went to a Catholic grade school, Catholic high. I was as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. You know, I didn't know who Jesus was. I knew all about Jesus, but I'd never accepted him as Lord and Savior because nobody told me. They just said, be a good Catholic and go to Mass and do what we tell you to do and you'll be fine. Well, no, we need to just understand, hey, you are your worst enemy. All you need to do is receive the free gift of salvation and be reconciled to God. There's the good news. All the hard work has been done for us. Jesus died on a cross. He paid for our sins when we could never pay for our own, and he's offering us the free gift of salvation. All sins have been judged. All sins have been paid for, except for one, the one sin of rejecting Jesus. That's the sin that sends people to hell, the one sin of rejecting him. All the other sins have been paid for. He left that one up to us. He took care of all the others. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us before we even knew we needed a Savior. He took care of it, and he left just the one. Just the one sin that we have to now deal with, the sin of rejecting Jesus. So as ambassadors, we go forth and, you know, depending upon who we talk to and the circumstances surrounding our conversation, you know, there's different ways to approach this. But basically, that's the message. Hey, you're reconciled to God. Your sins have been judged and paid for. Now just reach out and receive the free gift of salvation. That's it. Okay? That's what the ambassador does. Okay? We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for Jesus, as we said here a moment ago, was made to be sin for us, that we would become the righteousness of God in him. All right, so right now, sitting in your seat, you are an ambassador for the Lord. Now, what is an ambassador? See, once again, we're talking about learning about who we already are, knowing who we are so we can go out there and represent Jesus accurately, okay? What is an ambassador? He is a representative, okay, an official representative. So what we're going to do for the remainder of our time this morning and then also this evening, at least these two services, and we'll see where the Holy Spirit takes us from there, but we're going to talk about the profile of an ambassador for Christ. What's his profile, his or her profile? What is an ambassador, and what is the profile and the parameters of his assignment and his responsibilities as a member of the body of Christ, an ambassador, which is what you are, which is what I am, okay? Over the last 5 or 6 years in my public ministry like this, when I share the word of God, I am compelled to keep going back to this business of learning about who we are. Because if you don't have knowledge about this, the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And lack of knowledge is the problem in the church, lack of knowledge. We've got churches all over the place. You probably passed a dozen churches to get to this one. And I would bet money that in most of those churches, they don't know a thing about what we're going to talk about. They don't know anything, though they may be wonderful people and they may love the Lord with all their heart. But they don't know anything, so they can't do anything. You can't do what you don't know you can do until you know you can do it. Can anyone say amen? Amen. All right. Okay, see, as an example, the Bible says, and this applies to everybody, this would be like 1 Peter 2:9, a very classic passage. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That applies to all of us. We are a chosen generation. I believe we're the last generation before Jesus returns. But whether or not we are, you know, that's not going to keep us in or out of heaven. But the point is, we are a chosen generation, a royal. Everybody say royal.
Royal.
Royal priesthood, not just a priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation called and separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who all of us are, okay? Like we're all ambassadors, we are all a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. Remember, some may be apostles within that group, some may be prophets, some may be evangelists, some may be pastors, and some may be teachers, but everybody is a holy nation, a royal priesthood for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody. And everybody is an ambassador no matter who we are, where we are, how old we are, how young we are, how educated we are, it doesn't matter. In Christ, we are these things. So, let's talk about the fact that we are told to go into all the world and represent Jesus accurately. Wherever you go, that's where Jesus goes in you, all right? So we'll talk about a few of these this morning, and then we'll keep going tonight. First of all, and I'll give these profile definitions to you. I'll repeat them several times because some of them are sentences, and so I want you to get these in your notes. And so we'll just take our time and make sure, you know, we're not going to race through these things, all right? Number one. An ambassador is a high-ranking minister of state. Okay? Remember, we are a royal priesthood. So, an ambassador is a high-ranking minister of state, chosen of royalty, that would be God, sent to another state to represent his own country. So, let me repeat that for you. Okay? An ambassador is a high-ranking minister of state, chosen of royalty, sent to another state to represent his own country. All right, one more time. Check your notes. Make sure you're getting it down there for referral later on. An ambassador is a high-ranking minister of state, chosen of royalty, sent to another state to represent his own country. All right, that is who we are. We are a high-ranking minister of state, chosen of royalty, sent from one nation to represent that nation to another. That's who we are, okay? That's what an ambassador is, a high-ranking minister of state. In the Philippines, there's a United States embassy in Manila. There's also a consulate in Cebu. The U.S. ambassador to the Philippines is a high-ranking minister of state sent from America to the Philippines to represent America to the Filipinos. All right? Because of this, that person, whether he be male or female, all right, needs to walk in the light of who they are. They are a high-ranking minister of state. They don't just show up to work in a pair of beach cutoffs and a T-shirt to represent America. They understand the magnitude of their responsibilities. They are representing a country to another country. Okay? So before he steps out or she from the ambassador's residence inside the embassy, all right, they make sure they are ready to assume their responsibilities accurately. They look the part, they talk the part, they think the part because they know who they are. They're not just going to cruise in with a bag of Dunkin' Donuts in their hand, you know, to go to work for Jesus. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Although I'd take the Dunkin' Donuts if they offer them to me. I'd be happy to take them all. But the point is, all right, look with me at Ephesians 4:1. Let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 4:1. This is what the Bible says. This is an exhortation from Paul to the Ephesus church members. He says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. See, once again, he's writing this from prison. Most of these epistles were written from jail, okay? And this one was one of them. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walk worthy of the calling. In other words, as an ambassador for Christ, I'm supposed to walk worthy of the calling. I've been called to represent heaven. I am a high-ranking minister of state. One of those things that I'm doing in the Philippines for the past 40 years, since I arrived in September of 1980, is to educate the Filipino people that, you know, they don't have to keep looking down upon themselves as though they are inferior to other cultures, other nationalities, like America, as an example. There is this pervasive mindset over there that Americans are better than they are. Just because they're Americans. It is wrong, it is inaccurate, but it is there. So one of those things we're doing with the pastors we pastor and the churches we establish, we work to get these people to a place where they change their mental mindset about who they are. They may feel inferior in some secular way, but we tell them, when you get born again, you are on equal plane with everybody else on the planet. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care where you come from. He just wants to use you. He just wants to bless you because he loves you. And no more, no less than anyone else out there. And it's one of those things that we constantly address because it is a deal that keeps cropping up with pastors who keep talking about what they can't do. And because they don't have any education, and because they never went to America, and because of this and because of that, we say, will you please just shut up and read your Bible and find out that you are on equal footing with me, with everyone else out there who calls themselves a born-again believer. God wants to use you, so why don't you just accept that and work with that? He loves you. He wants to use you. He wants you to walk worthy of the calling. He wants you to walk worthy of the calling, okay? So praise the Lord. You know, in a lot of church circles in America these days, it's very, very popular to dress down, which is fine. If you want to dress down, that's fine. But I tell people, whatever you dress down to wear, make sure it looks nice. Why? Because I'm some kind of GQ freak? No, because we represent another country. We represent the kingdom of heaven. We represent God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, everybody up there. We represent them. Okay, so if you want to wear a T-shirt to work, at least iron it, won't you? I look at some people, I got to tell you, I look at people and they're claiming to be Christian. I'm just kind of walking away thinking, man, I don't know. Because if I needed help, I'm not sure I'd be walking up to some of these people asking for help because they look worse off than I feel. I'm not saying we should all wear suits and ties and dresses and all of this all the time. I'm simply saying walk worthy of the calling. Act like who you are. Think like who you are. Walk like who you are. And square your shoulders and don't be ashamed of representing Jesus with a little bit of gusto. You know, it's, you know, people will accuse us of being arrogant. We're not arrogant. We're just confident. I know who I represent. I don't back up to anybody. If you want to debate with me, go somewhere else. I'm just going to preach the truth. We are not entertainers, friends. We are proclaimers. We proclaim the truth and let the chips fall where they may. If you don't like it, then that's your funeral. It's not mine. Amen. I accepted Jesus. I know where I'm going, and I know where you're going if you don't accept Jesus. And my responsibility is to tell you straight up. Amen. Well, you're not walking in love. Au contraire, biblical love tells the truth. That's biblical love. If you love somebody, you tell them the truth. You're not telling anybody, you're not loving anybody if you're holding back the truth for fear of offending somebody. I got news. The moment you accept Jesus, you got a whole bunch of people that are offended. Because there's a lot of noise out there. There's a whole bunch of people who hate Jesus, who hate Christians, who hate Israel, who hate Jews, etc. And there's nothing you're going to do about that. Amen. You know, we are not called to save the world. That's another misconception. We're not called to go into the world and save it. The world cannot be saved. They're going to get worse and worse. Go read your Bible. It's going to get darker and darker. Some of these people, you know, even the book of Revelation, when stones are falling upon them, they'll still be shaking their fist at God. You can't change these people. What we're supposed to do is pull people out of the world, one soul at a time. We don't change the world. That's Jesus. That's his job. He comes back at the end of the tribulation. He cleans house. That's his job. That's not our job. Our job is one soul at a time, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, and pull them out of that mess. Somebody say amen. Amen. And if they reject it, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting the country who sent us, the kingdom we represent. They don't, you know, listen, we're going to get to this later on, but just a little bit of preview here. Let's quit wearing our feelings out on our shirt sleeves for everybody to pick at. I'm just so offended. They took my track and tore it up. Well, give them another one. Amen. Let's walk worthy of the high calling. Let's be the ambassador who talks, acts, thinks differently when he's in the country of assignment. And we are in the country of assignment. It's called Earth. It's not just America. It's Earth. Wherever we go, we represent God Almighty. Think about that. Okay? Praise the Lord. That's number one. We are official royalty, chosen to go forth and represent one nation to another. That's number one. Number two. An ambassador does not appoint himself, okay, any more than an apostle. He appoints himself, or a prophet, they appoint us. No, they don't either. The Holy Spirit does this. There's a bunch of people roaming around calling themselves apostles that are not. There's a bunch of people claiming to be prophets, and they're not, okay? The proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the fruit, okay? I tell these people roaming around claiming to be apostles and prophets, listen, tiger, let's check your plumb line of the work you've been doing for Jesus. Let's find out what's been going on in your life. You know. Apostles do not appoint themselves. God does this. And he did it. He did it. What does that tell us? He has faith in us. When you consider the magnitude of what's at stake, eternity, you know, that's another one. We need to wrap our minds around the reality. It's not a concept. It's a reality of forever, never ending. We will never end. We will never cease to exist. We have cemeteries full of bodies where spirits used to live, but the spirits aren't there. They went home. When they died, if Jesus was Lord, they went up. And if he wasn't their Lord, they went down. In whichever direction they went there forever. There will never be. There are no parole board hearings in hell. Nope. If you're there, you're there. And you'll never get out. Ever. Really, considering what's at stake when people die, whichever way they go forever. You know, it's amazing to me that God would choose. He didn't have to do this way, but this is what he chose to do. He limits himself to partnership with his ambassadors. He will never move apart from our participation in the business of winning souls. Amazing, considering we're all works in progress, are we not? Amen. We're all works in progress. The only one that did this perfectly from start to finish was Jesus. Everybody else had issues. Amen. Paul had issues. Peter had issues. Moses had issues. You know, go right on down the line. These great people of God that were used, Old Testament or New, they all had issues. They were all works in progress. You know, if you're looking for the perfect church, you'll be looking the next time I see you. There is no such thing. There's no such thing. You look for the perfect pastor, you'll be looking until the next time I see you. There is no such thing. We're all works in progress, but the good news is the mercy of the Lord is new every morning, and the blood of Jesus was not put on a judgment seat, it was put on a mercy seat. And every time we say, Father, forgive us for the latest mess up, the latest sin we committed, or the disobedient act we whatever, and we go to God and say, please forgive us. He doesn't forgive us because we're so cool. He looks over at the mercy seat. He sees the blood of Jesus over there that ratifies the new covenant of which we are now a part. And based upon that blood that Jesus shed, he says to us, you're forgiven. Not because of you, but because of my son, Jesus, because of what he did for you. Amen. But God appoints us. Look at John 15. Let's go to the Gospel of John, number 15 and verse 16. Jesus is the speaker here. He's talking to his disciples before he was arrested a short time later. And this is the Last Supper discourse, part of it. And he says in John chapter 15, verse number 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. That's our job, friends, to go and bear fruit. And that our fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. See, we quote the second part of that verse, but read the first part with the second part. Okay, we're told, you know, whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he's going to give to us. And we quote this verse, that's true. But in the context of what that verse, what that statement is located in, okay, we're talking about the fact he chose us, he selected us, he appointed us. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you, okay? I chose you. I didn't pick the Philippines, God did. All I did was, I said to the Lord, I'll go anywhere you tell me to go. Just tell me where you want me to go, and he put the Philippines on my heart. Amen. And I met my lovely wife over there, you know. By the way, when you submit to the will of God, good things start happening in your life. Amen. When you just say to the Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go, I'll do whatever you want me to do, you just direct my life. He has our best interest at heart. He knows us more than we know ourselves. Would you agree? He knows who we should be married to. He knows who should be our friends. He knows all of this. If we would just let him be God in our life, good things would be happening to us. Outside of Jesus, the best thing that happened to me was my lovely wife, Ethel. Amen. That woman sitting there is perfectly suited to stand by my side to do what we do for Jesus. Amen. Amen. I can be a bit in your face, shall I say. And, you know, her attitude is just the opposite. She's so serene, so level-headed, I guess. You know, me, I'm all over the place. You know, but the point is, you know, she brings an element into my life that I need.
That's right.
She pulls me back sometimes when I need to be. Praise the Lord. The point is, if he chose us, he has faith in us. He believes in us. He trusts us with the gospel. The Bible says we were, you know, Paul writes, he says, I was entrusted with the gospel. Think about that. That's an amazing thing considering what's at stake here. Okay? People going to heaven or hell forever. Forever. No end. In the Philippines, you know, the girls that have gone over, they know that on the back wall of our conference center is a giant banner with one word on it, eternity. Because I want everybody who walks into that conference center, whether it be for a Bible study or for a conference, convention, whatever, I want everybody to take a look at that word and be reminded of what's at stake here and why we're doing what we're doing. This is not all about me. It's not all about my life and all of this stuff. It's all about us helping people find life before death takes over and sends them to a place they're not willing to go. If everybody in hell had one more chance to accept Jesus, hell would be emptied in 15 seconds. And they'll never get the chance. Ever. To think that God would choose me to represent him with those stakes on the table is an amazing thing to me. Amazing. Anyway, the ambassadors do not appoint themselves. So God has faith in you. Okay? Have faith in yourself. Okay? That's another thing that happens on these mission tours. People come over and find out God can use them. They don't have to go to somebody's Bible school. It's good if God tells them to go. God told me to go to Rhema, so I went. But it doesn't matter if you go or don't go. If you're just out there making yourself available to the Lord, he'll use you. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Number three, an ambassador is not a citizen of the country he's in, but of the country he's from. An ambassador is not a citizen of the country he's in, but from the country he's from, okay? Once again, the United States ambassador to the Philippines is not a Filipino citizen. He's an American citizen. He's living in the Philippines, okay? But he's not a Filipino, okay? So we are citizens of the country who sends us. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. Let's go back to Philippians and look at the third chapter and verse number 20, okay? Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. This is a very simple statement, okay? It says, for our citizenship is in where? Heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, not earth. Well, I'm an American citizen. Well, yes, in a natural secular sense, this is where you were born. This is where I was born. So we carry a United States passport. We are U.S. citizens, okay? Ethel, as an example, is a Filipino citizen and now a dual citizen. She became American citizen 20-some years ago, so she has a dual passport. So all of that, I got it. You know, you're born in France, you're French. You're born in Germany, you're German. You're born in Sweden, you're Swedish. Got it. But here, spiritually speaking, as members of the body of Christ, our citizenship is not on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're just down here on assignment. We're just passing through. Okay? We need to get an eternal mindset, a heavenly mindset. You know, it's not all about our career. It's not all about the house we own. It's not all about the job we've got. It's not about the car we drive. Although these things are necessary, and the Bible says, you know, God's ready, willing, and able to give us what we need for the work of the ministry, for the things we do to represent him as the ambassador that we are. Okay, he's got that. Okay, he'll take care of the car, the house, the job. He's got our back. But the point is, I need to recognize and remember that my citizenship is not down here. My citizenship is in heaven. I represent them, and that's where my citizenship is, and that's where I'm going to go when I step out of this body. When they bury the body I'm living in, I'm not in the body they're burying. I'm home with Jesus. Amen? That's why, you know, doing Christian funerals is a wonderful thing. Even if the person departed early, you know, we're sorry that they left the battlefield prior to their time. That part we're sorry about. But I tell people that are grieving over the loss of their saved loved ones, you know, instead of just thinking about you, how about thinking about where they are? They're in the presence of Jesus. They're singing, they're dancing, they're clapping, they're looking at Jesus face to face. They're better off than we are. You know, my own mom died in 2003, and I did the funeral for her. And, you know, there on the front row are all my relatives, my brothers, my sisters, aunties, uncles, all that stuff. They were all there weeping and wailing, okay? And she'd been sick for a long time. So she died, and she went to heaven, okay? So I got up, and I shared Jesus with everybody, and I talked to the family relatives, and I said, listen, all you guys are weeping and wailing. I feel the loss just like you. I love my mother just like you loved our mother, but my mother's in heaven. She's with Jesus. I am rejoicing. I'm not crying. Okay, I'm rejoicing. She's in a better place. She sees Jesus face to face. She's with the angels. She's with all of our relatives that have died and gone on. And if she had a chance to come back, she'd say no. Are you kidding? You know, we have no concept of perfection. This is not a perfect world. It's a sin-cursed world. When they go to heaven, it's a perfect place. There's no devil. There's no demons. There are no idiots up there. Plenty of them down here. But the point is, they're with Jesus. They don't want to come back here. Instead of just weeping and wailing for their loss, how about rejoicing for their gain? They're with the Lord. Let's just start running and jumping and dancing and clapping because they're with Jesus. She was sick, but she's not sick anymore. There's no pain. There's nothing but joy out there. Glory to God. Because she's a citizen of the country she went home to. She's a citizen of the country she went home to. Too, and you are a citizen of heaven. So all of heaven is behind you. All of heaven is behind you because you are sent and God is prepared to take good care of you. That's number three. Number four. Is this helping anybody?
Yes.
I love this stuff. This, you know, we need to meditate on this sort of thing. Okay, number four. An ambassador does not support himself. He doesn't live off the country he's in, but from the country he's from. The ambassador does not have to go out and get a job, doesn't have to get a sideline job of some kind to pay the bills. No, no, no. The country that sends him is the country that pays for everything he needs, okay? When the ambassador needs something, he sends a cable back to the home country and says, I need this, 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 and this. And the country says, okay. And they write the check and send the money, and he buys this, this, and this, and this to do whatever it is he needs to do, or he or she, because they represent the country that sent them. Does not the Bible say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the classic verse we know so well, my God shall supply all. The last time I checked, friends, all means all, not some, not most, not a few, all things. My God shall supply all my needs. Now listen, here's the good part. According to his riches, where? In glory. See, that's the sending country. That's the country that will fund us. That's the country that will pay for our expenses. That's the country that builds the buildings we're building overseas, pays for the crusade, pays for the vehicle we need to drive. You know, once again, we are ambassadors for Jesus, and I'm not criticizing anybody with whatever car you may be driving at the present time, but my point is, listen, if we're driving down the road with something held together with Christian bumper stickers, it's not really a good community witness with the blue glory cloud coming out the back end, you know, that says Jesus is, you know, we're not perfect, we're just forgiven, all of this, you know. Hey, you know, it would be nice just, and I'm not suggesting we all buy Rolls Royces, but I'm suggesting that at least God will give you a decent set of wheels so that you don't have to use your faith just to get to work every day. So that you don't end up stranded on the parkway because the thing breaks down. No. The ambassador does not support himself. He does not live off the country he's in, but from the country he's from. And there is no shortage in heaven. There is no inflation in heaven. There is no, none of that in heaven. Listen, if toothpaste costs $200 a tube, God will give you the money for the toothpaste. And I say hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. Mouthwash too, I might add. Oh, hallelujah. Look with me at Matthew chapter 6. Let's look here. Let's listen to Jesus talk about this stuff. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25. Again, we've read these. These are familiar statements. But listen to this. Jesus is preaching, okay? And among many other things, he says to these guys, Matthew 6, 25, he says, Therefore is in conclusion to what I've already just told you. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, meaning, you know, the provisions that we have to have. What you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? That's a rhetorical question. We know the answer to this. The answer is yes. Then he says in verse 26, look. Everyone say look. Look. All right. In other words, pay attention. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And then verse 27, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit, that was a measurement back then, or we could say one inch here today, which of you, by worrying, can add one inch to his stature? The message is, you can't change what you worry about by worrying about it, so don't worry about it. Worrying about your money won't put money in your pocket to pay the bills. Worrying about not having a job is not going to give you a job. Worrying about what your neighbor thinks is not going to change what your neighbor thinks. So don't worry about it. Okay? In the Philippines, listen, for 40 years, we've trusted God each week to pay the bills. 40 years. And he's never let us down. Ever. I sleep peacefully at night. We've got a ministry operating on two continents at the same time. We've got a staff of 15 people over there that we have to raise money to pay their salaries, and you got all the other stuff, insurance and upkeep and, you know, changing light bulbs and fixing things that break and whatever, and then holding the crusades and then building the churches and all this. And we've got, you know, all these pastors that look to us as spiritual fathers and mothers to them, whatever. I sleep peacefully at night. All of this, I give it over to the Lord. I cast all my cares upon the Lord. My worry about the salaries to be paid won't pay the salaries. My worry about paying our salary and pay the bills that we've got to pay won't pay the bills. So why worry about it? Because I look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Amen. When was the last time you saw two birds land on a branch and one bird takes his wing and pokes the other bird and says, dude, I got to tell you, I'm trying to put an extension on the nest and the cost of twigs keeps going up. I can't afford it. I went down to, you know, Home Depot and the cost of twigs is up the roof. I can't handle this. And the other bird, you know, uses the wing and pokes him back and says, buddy, I know what you're talking about. You know, the wife just gave birth to a bunch of little birds and the cost of worms is off the charts. I can't feed my family. She keeps having more birds, you know, more eggs to feed, more birds, you know, more worms to catch, you know. The worms are getting smart. They're not popping up like we used, you know, they're staying underground. I don't know what to do. You know, and they said, man, I don't know. Listen, the birds just fly around and sing because that's what God made them to do. They fly around and sing. They don't worry about anything. Amen. And Jesus said, look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap. They don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Amen. How much more valuable are you? Amen, friends. Why? Because we're ambassadors sent from one nation to represent another. The nation that sent us is obligated to pay our bills. I don't apologize when I go to God and say, Father, I need this. I need this, and I, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking for this, and I believe I've got it because I have to have it. I'm not talking about opulence here. I'm talking about necessity. We need things to pay for the Great Commission, do we not? Okay, we flew here today. We didn't walk. We flew to be with you today. Okay, I cannot walk up to the counter at United Airlines and say, behold. Are you joking? Oh, you know, behold the child of God, the man of God, sent divinely by the Holy Spirit to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God. That's why I'm going to New York. And that, you know, at the counter over there in Tucson where we came from, they'll say, you know, that's really wonderful. But if you want to fly on that jet back there, behold the price. No money, no ticky. They don't care about your calling. They don't care about who's sending you. They want the cash. Give me the money, honey. So I don't apologize to God. I say, I need this amount of money. This is it. I need it, and I expect you to do what you need to do. Does not the Bible say angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation? I'll talk to them, and I'll say, hey, what are you down here for? Okay, go out there and give me the money that I need to run this thing. Praise the Lord. Go do what you need to do. The Bible says the wealth of the sinner is reserved for the just. All these ungodly people out there that you read about and look at and hear about, all that money they have acquired, praise the Lord, God will take it right out of their pocket and put it into your pocket if you know who you are. Amen. All these rich, unsaved people, they are what I call satanic reservoirs. Satanic financial reservoirs. Satan piles money into their lives because he knows for the most part he can trust them. They'll never use it for the gospel. Satanic reservoirs. God can take it right out of their pocket. He's got all kinds of ways to do it. Amen. All right. Okay, number 5. An ambassador, his instructions are always in written form, so there's no doubt about his duties and assignments. Okay, an ambassador's instructions are always in written form, so there's no confusion or no doubt about his duties and assignments. Okay, when the United States ambassador to the Philippines gets information from Washington, D.C., okay, those are cabled encrypted messages. Those are not Facebook postings. It's not a tweet. Okay, that is a cabled encrypted message specifically for the ambassador's eyes only. He is being told what to do. He's not going to go do what he wants to do, what she feels like she needs to do. He or she's going to be told what to do in writing, and they will follow those instructions to the letter, or they will be recalled and they will be replaced. Okay? They're not out there to do their own thing. This is what Christians need to understand. We're not out here to do our own thing. We're here to follow the instructions of the book. Our message is simple. Just share it. Don't try to improvise. Just share the word, okay? I tell people, take the pressure off yourself. Just quote scripture. If you can memorize scripture, just quote it and let God do the rest. Take the pressure off yourself. You don't have to be, you know, the next Billy Graham, Kenneth Hagin, or whoever else. Just share the word. Those are the instructions. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, period. Amen? The written instructions is the Bible in your lap, or the electronic portable device you're holding in your hand, the app, whatever, that represents the official written instructions from God that will never change. Amen. We've got a lot of people out there right now that are changing things in here, calling themselves Christians, churches, changing things. You know, sin is not sin anymore because, you know, after all, you know, this is a new time. No, it's not a new time. The Bible never changed. You changed, but the Bible didn't. God didn't change. His standards never changed. He doesn't change. You changed. You know, I'm sticking with God. You want to change, go for it. But then, you know, good luck on your day of judgment. Good luck on the day you stand before a holy and a righteous God and try to justify your change. Okay? Written form. And this Bible never changes. That's why I tell people, stick with the Word of God. And if your church starts to veer away, starts to drift away, say goodbye. Go find another church. Not so in this church. Amen? We preach the gospel without apology. Amen?
Well, I don't agree. I don't believe that.
Well, go to hell. Where you're going to go. Well, it's time we just step over and quit trying to tiptoe through the tulips. We're way past the tulip time. Okay, we're running out of time. We need to tell people straight up, friend, we're running out of time and so are you. And my Bible tells me that God's a holy God. My Bible tells me that sin is still sin. And my Bible still tells me that the wages of sin is death. So if you're in it, you need to get out before you're in a place where you don't have that free choice anymore. Free will is a weapon given to every human being. But the moment you die, the power of choice is removed from you. And all the choices you made in this life are the choices you will spend eternity with. So I tell people, you have choice now. You step out from this body, you don't have choice anymore. Power of choice is removed from you. The weapon of free will is the greatest weapon God ever gave man. When people decide to give their heart to Jesus, what can the devil do to stop them? Nothing. Does he want them to get saved? No. No. But he can't stop us because we have free will. Amen. We can choose to be on fire for the Lord or we can choose to be lukewarm. It's all up to us. Amen. People look for excuses and there are none. Okay. Hey, praise the Lord. That's another message for some other time. All right. Last point for this morning, then we'll keep going tonight. Number 6, the ambassador is not subject to the laws of the country he's in, but from the country he's from. Very, very important. The ambassador is not subject to the laws of the country he's in, but from the country he's from. Okay? In the Philippines, the United States ambassador is not subject to Philippine law. He's subject to American law. He's an American citizen on diplomatic assignment. It's what we call diplomatic immunity. Have you ever heard the term? Yes. Well, we've got diplomatic immunity in the spiritual sense, okay? We are not functioning according to the world's rules. We're functioning according to the heavenly rules that we submit ourselves to that sends us, that protects us, that provides for us. As an example, when we commit sin, how many have ever committed a sin since they got saved? Everybody's hand should go up for this one, okay? The point is, when we do what we know we shouldn't do, say what we know we shouldn't say, whatever, the Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, period. Does not the Bible also say that as far as the east is from the west, when he forgives us, it's gone? You know, north and south is different than east and west, okay? North and south means if you continue to head in the same direction, you will change direction just by continuing in one direction. If you go north and you reach the North Pole and keep moving forward, you're now going south when you cross the North Pole, right? Now you're going south toward the South Pole. You cross the South Pole going north. You've crossed the pole. Now you're going north. Your direction will change based upon the fact you're just moving in the same direction. But he didn't forgive our sins according to the north and the south. He forgave our sins according to the east and the west. If you keep going east, you will forever be going east, meaning there's no end to the depth of his forgiveness. And the Bible says when he forgives us, he does not remember the sins anymore. Have you ever been to a place where you keep feeling lousy because you did something you knew was wrong and you feel terrible, you grieve the Holy Spirit and whatever? I have. I've been there many times. you know, you did something wrong, you knew it was wrong or whatever, and you're just feeling terrible. You know, you grieve the Holy Spirit, you don't want to do that, you love him, you love the Lord, you let him down, you know, whatever, and you're feeling terrible about yourself. And you go to God and you say, you know, Father, would you, I'm sorry. You know, you told me to do this and I didn't. You told me to say this and I didn't. I just messed up. And I'm just so sorry. I let you down and I just feel terrible about it. And he says, okay, I forgive you. I says, please forgive me. And he says, I forgive you. And okay, thank you. 3 weeks later, I'm still feeling bad about it, you know, still thinking about what I could have done, should have done, didn't do, whatever. And I go to the Lord and I bring it up, you know, Lord, I'm just so sorry for what happened a couple weeks ago. I say, and he cuts me off. I don't know how he does you in your prayer closet, but he doesn't put up with this in mine for very long. He cuts me right off and he says, did I not forgive you several weeks ago? Did we not talk about this? Yeah, we did. Did you not ask me to forgive you? Yes, I did ask you. Did I? Yes. Then what are you bringing it up for? I forgave you. I don't remember it. I don't know what you're talking about. Quit bringing up stuff that I forgave you about. See, those are the rules of heaven. The rules of the earth say they'll never forget what happens down here. That's why they keep drumming up stuff that people did when they were in the third grade. Whatever happens, you know, that happens to be convenient for their political purposes. They'll bring up something, some unsubstantiated claim. When, you know, when he was in third grade, he took my crayons in art class and he wrote on my forehead. And I was so offended. And I've been dealing with this all my life. And, you know, the whole world goes nuclear over this stuff, you know. It's like, how do we know he was in third grade with you? How do we know that he wrote on your forehead with your crayon? We know none of this stuff. But they'll never forget this kind of stuff. In heaven, it's a whole different set of rules. When you accept the fact that he forgave. And Paul made the statement. He said, you know, I forget the things which are behind. I press forward to the things ahead. I look forward to the call of the high calling of God in Christ. I'm not looking back. And if anybody had skeletons in his closet, it was Paul. He knew what he was like before. Just read about it. And he wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 7. He says, receive us. We have wronged no man. We've defrauded no man. Excuse me? You say this? You? Let's go back to Acts and read a few chapters back there about you pulling people out of their homes, dragging them before the Sanhedrin, you know, throwing them in jail, on your way to Damascus to arrest more Christians, wreaking havoc among the saints. That's you. Excuse me. I was born again. All that was washed away. I don't remember it. God doesn't remember it. I'm a new creature in Christ. Yeah, but I remember what you... Hey. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are... See, people come along, they want to pull up all the photographs and all the snapshots of all the failures of our life. The good news is we don't operate according to the laws of the world. We operate according to the laws of heaven. And if you're sitting here being condemned over sins that you've committed, all you need to do is say, Father, I am genuinely sorry. I receive my forgiveness and I am moving on. And I am never looking back. Don't live in the past. Live in the future. Expect good things. And if we stumble along the way, make sure you fall forward, not backwards. Because when you get up, when you stumble and fall forward, you're still advancing. Even though you fell, you're still two steps ahead of where you were before you fell. And God will pick you up, dust you off, you know. Micah chapter 7 says, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Even though I have fallen, I shall arise. I tell the devil, quit gloating over me, stupid. I'm going to be sharper and stronger for this than I was before. I'm learning from my mistakes. Amen. Go somewhere else and torment someone who doesn't know who they are. Get out of my life. Get off my porch. Get out of my family. Who do you think you are? Old split foot. You're on your way to hell. Amen. Well, I'm going to be laughing at you. Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the fact that in Christ we are ambassadors for the Lord. Help us to walk in the light of who we already are. We're not all evangelists, Lord, but we all are called to evangelize. And we need to do this from a position of awareness of who you made us to be. We are official representatives, chosen of royalty. Members of state, high-ranking ministers of state, chosen of royalty. Sent to this country, to this earth, to represent you, Lord. Help us to do this with accuracy, without apology, and without hesitation. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Everybody agrees, said together, amen. Amen. All right.